As you can imagine, we're trying to tease out checkpoint inhibitors in virtually every corner of oncology. And one question we asked, and I'm going to ask you as it relates to head and neck cancer, is, sort of putting together your clinical experience, the clinical research data you have right now, when you start a checkpoint inhibitor, let's say nivolumab, and let's say second-line therapy, in your mind, and maybe if a patient would ask you, what's the likelihood that they're going to, have a prolonged period without having to get a different therapy? Let's say 2 years, for example.
So this is a good question. The response rate with these agents is actually quite modest. It's going to be in the 15%, 15 to 20%. So most of the patients are not going to respond. There is a small group of patients who, again, we talk about tail of the curve, that have long-term effect of these drugs. They have long-term survival. The benefit of these agents, the benefit of immunotherapy in head and neck cancer, just like we saw in many other solid tumors, does not appear to be on the response rate, appears to be on the survival, that these agents appear to extend survival. When you look at the one-year survival, for example, at the CheckMate 141, there was doubling of survival at the one-year mark. You have double of the patients who were still alive that were on nivolumab compared to standard of care. So even though the response rate, if you're just going to go by the traditional RECIST criteria response rate, that number is going to be quite low. It's going to be on the 15%, 1.5 on average, with either agents, pembrolizumab or nivolumab. The effect of these agents appear to be, in my opinion, on the survival and not on response rate.
But again, what we hear about is not just survival, but people who have prolonged progression-free survival, much longer than you would expect with a typical therapy. What's the chance of that happening?
Based on what we know today, it's going to be low. It's probably in the 10-15% who are going to have prolonged survival. But that number, again, appears to be better than what we traditionally have seen with chemotherapy. Because remember, the information we have today is on patients who are heavily pretreated, who have seen multiple lines of chemotherapy. And as we move these agents to earlier therapies, I expect the numbers are going to improve also.
And so you're saying about 15%. What do we know about PD-L1 staining in head and neck cancer? And is it different in smokers and non-smokers? Is it different in HPV positive or negative?
Yeah. We don't know that there is a difference in the HPV positive patients. Most of the patients, the PD-L1 negative group, the problem with those numbers is that every company that's working on this now has a different threshold of what's negative versus positive. In some of the studies, less than 25% is considered negative. So that obviously is creating some issues in how we interpret the data. So we need to do more work on this to try to tease out really, number one, the benefit of being PD-L1 positive, if we can define that better. Because many of us now feel that if you are truly PD-L1 negative, you're not going to have a great response to these agents. And that might not be the best option for those patients. Again, if we're able to better define the PD-L1 negative group. And maybe for those patients, we need more than single agent PD-L1 inhibitor. We need maybe a combination, or we need more chemotherapy. And that's some of the areas of interest right now.
Do you ever run into a situation, and again, you hear about this in other tumors, where patients are doing so well for so long that you start thinking about stopping the therapy?
I've not had that in my practice yet. If you look at some of the studies, after 2 years, there's a mandate to stop and see what happens. So it is possible, and that's something that we are going to have to, obviously, as these drugs now become standard of care, you're going to start to have many of these patients who have gotten to that 2 years mark, and where we have to make a decision about whether we want to hold the treatment or stop the treatment. I personally don't have many of these patients now who have gotten to 2 years where I've had to make that decision.